Well, good morning, and welcome to New Life's online service. We are so excited you decided to tune in, and whether it is for the first time or the 25th time, we are so excited that we can experience a service together, even if it is virtually. My name is Janessa Gritter, and I am the intern worship pastor here. If you don't know what we're about as a church, we are a church committed to changing lives, being in a diverse community, and making a radical impact. And if you'd like to know more, you can visit us on our Facebook or Instagram pages, as well as our website. We are so excited that we can have some in-person services going on starting November 1st. And we're so happy that we can be with our New Life family here in the building. And we want to see you as well. So if you'd like to be a part of an in-person service, registration goes live for our services on Tuesdays and closes on Fridays. We are so happy and excited to see you again. This morning we are going to start with a time of worship, and we are going to experience and sing worship songs with our worship band. So let's do that now.
Wonderful way to start our service. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in praise and worship to our awesome God. For those of you who don't know us, my name is Emma Hawk, and this is my wonderful husband, Hank. I personally have been attending New Life since 1991, when we moved from Richmond to Abbotsford, which is now almost 30 years ago. And Hank started attending with me in 1998, the year that we got married, which is 22 years ago already. And we have been attending New Life Church because we love this church, we love its leadership and the people. And during this coronavirus, we have so missed being and seeing people. And so now we have some exciting news that Hank's going to share.
Yes, indeed. As has been announced for the past several weeks, today, for the first time again, we have begun our in-person gathering for worship at the church.
Yes.
Likely you are watching this because you either chose not to attend that service or you missed the registration.
Or maybe you are watching this in addition to having attended. Now that would be really impressive.
Whatever the case, here are some details for going to church on Sunday. Registration in person services at New Life opens on any given Tuesday for the following Sunday. And take note, it closes on the Friday of that same week. Go to the website of New Life and you can register there for the services.
And New Life services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. However, during this time of the coronavirus, we do have some things to take into consideration, such as health regulations, the hand sanitizing stations, the keeping physical distance, and please do not congregate inside the building.
Masks are recommended, particularly when singing.
So we can't wait to see you, so be sure to register in the coming weeks. We also have another important announcement to make, and that is a marriage night. We are so excited to announce that on Friday, November the 20th at 7 o'clock, we are going to be hosting a marriage night. The goal of this evening is to gather New Life members together for community building and to continue to learn how to develop healthy relationships and in communication. So while this event is entitled as a marriage night, and there will be content regarding the marriage, it's not just for those getting married. It's also for singles or couples dating, because our focus will be on developing healthy communication. Registration for this event is on our website, The Encourager, and on our social platform. We have a capacity of 100 people, so register quickly to reserve your seat. The event will be live streamed for those who have missed the registration so that everyone can still participate. We encourage you to watch from home and to invite your life group or friends to join you. So be sure to mark this important event on your calendar.
The offering this Sunday is for New Life Ministries. As you can see on your screen, you have a number of ways you can give. If you would like to learn more on how to give, you can check the link below in the video description. Now, please join me in prayer. Lord, we love you. We thank you for our church and its ministries. We pray your blessing on the offering and also on all those involved in the various ministries. Our prayer also goes out to those experiencing tough times, those who feel alone or forgotten due to the virus, those who are battling illnesses, those who are grieving because of loss of family or friends, or those in a situation that is causing anxiety and stress. May we be reminded that our Heavenly Father has a compassionate heart toward the problems we face. He longs to guide us through the tough seasons of life. We also like to pray for the in-service that started this morning, as well as the virtual service that is in progress. We ask the Holy Spirit to come upon our pastor as he speaks your word, and may we be diligent in our listening to his message. For you are a loving and a faithful God. Amen.
Amen. Kids, Pastor Sam has once again put together a video and an activity sheet for you. All of these materials can be found in the video description or on our website. Every month, New Life Kids start a new series. This month's series is called Space Ninjas versus Pirate Squirrels. Now that sounds really exciting to me. You will learn all about God's faithfulness and power through the exile of the Israelites. And parents, if you want you and your kids to get more out of the weekly videos, there are some reflection prompts following the lesson that can help your family dig deeper into each lesson. And now is the time to pause this video to set up your kids. And when we come back, we will be joined by Pastor Nathan.
Enjoy the service.
Well, good morning. It's so good to be with you again, and a special welcome to you if you're viewing this in our auditorium. This is the first Sunday that we are doing in-person gatherings, so welcome. And we look forward to more of these in-person gatherings. And just a reminder, if you wish to attend one of these services live, you'll have to register. Just go to our website and you'll be able to register to attend. We're in a series called Digital Christians, and in this series, we're trying to take Bible passages and read them in the context of our digital age, our computerized age. So what we're trying to do is not just simply apply technology to our lives, but rather we're taking some of the major attitudes of our lives as Christians, and we're applying that to our use of technology so that our attitudes influence how we approach the digital age. We've taken three major attitudes that we use here at New Life Church: worship, community, and serve. And we're using them as our focus points to assess our use of technology. So this week we begin with the attitude of community. Having examined in the last 2 weeks, the last two messages, we examined our attitudes towards worship and how that shapes our use of technology. So this morning, we're going to take a look at a parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 18. This is the word of the Lord. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable, to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' And for some time, the judge refused. But finally, he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" Now, the parables that Jesus told often have multiple meanings and can be applied in multiple contexts, and today's parable is no different. This one seems to be about persistence in prayer, and certainly it has a lot to say about that. We will refer to it in a moment, but as we'll see, it also says something about the value of community and how we are community. So the first thing that this parable teaches is something about the foundation of our community building. The reason that we can even talk about, let alone experience community, is because God created us to be in relationship. Relationship to Him, relationship to others. In fact, the very foundation to being in relationship is God Himself. Because from eternity, God has existed, certainly has revealed Himself as a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then, being made in God's image, we reflect a triune God whenever we find ourselves in relationship or in community with one another. So one of the main points in this parable of Jesus is that God is a God who embraces relationship. If a judge, the point of the parable is, if a judge who spurns connection with people, who disregards relationship with people, if such a judge even gives mercy and benevolence, then how much more does God embrace people? So that's at least one part of the point that Jesus is trying to make. Relationship is, in fact, then the foundation of any community that we can have and any community that we build. Now, if God were a computer, faith would simply be all about information. But information doesn't create community. Information is what computers are for, to store information and then offer it back in whatever format we want. Operating a computer, whether it's a smartphone or a tablet or your laptop or even a TV, operating a computer is about managing and controlling that information. And the assumption then, often in our lives, is that the more information we have, the more information that we can manage, the more information that we can control, the better our lives will be. Now, in some sense, that's true enough. But then the question becomes, how much information do we need to be Christian? In fact, according to the parable, it's not information, however, that brought the judge to listen to the desperate widow. It was relationship. However strained and messy that relationship was, it's relationship that ties the judge to this desperate widow. In other words, Christianity, faith in God, is about relationship. It's not just a matter of what you know about God. It's a matter of whether you know God as He reveals Himself, as He draws us into relationship with Him and with one another. Christianity is about relationship. It's about knowing a heavenly Father. Christianity is about knowing the person of Jesus. Not just the great truths that He taught, but to know Jesus, the Savior of our lives. Christianity is about knowing the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And such a rich relationship then draws us into community. Sometimes we place ourselves in community only according to the information we have, and we certainly have tons of information at our fingertips so that we can pick and choose and, as it were, individualize our community. In a digital age, we can know so much about a segment of people and decide whether we want to attach ourselves or not to that segment. Consequentially, we have rampant polarization. And ironically, the more we individualize community, the more we isolate ourselves. The more information we orient towards, the more we simply emphasize efficiency or productivity, and the more that we just simply treat one another as machines that carry information, information that we need to access in order for ourselves to be productive or efficient or to get what we are going after. And the less we treat each other as human beings in relationship. So, in terms of living in the context of a computerized age, the important thing to remember is that we were built, created for relationship. That God, the God of relationships, the God who Himself is in relationship from eternity, from the beginning of time to the very end of time and beyond, is a God who relates. Second thing that this parable teaches in the context of community is the nature of it. It's not just relationship that builds community, but all of the many elements in a relationship that make up that relationship build community. And some of those elements are in opposition to one another. That's simply the nature of community, that it involves tension and strain, which binds unique individuals together. Individuals, each of whom have separate values, and in community, sometimes they may not match. So in other words, in the context of the parable, the widow in Jesus' parable practiced a persistence that would not let the judge, presumably her last resort, would not let that judge off the hook. She practiced that kind of persistence. We would assume, of course, that a court system should act like a machine, with our emphasis on how objective justice has to be. Like a computer. You input information about a case, and out spits an objective, perfectly true verdict. That's often our expectation. But that doesn't happen in this parable. Nor does it happen in real-life community, in fact. Because it wasn't just persistence that the widow demonstrated, but a determination to prevail with the judge. She did not give up on the judge. In other words, If God were a computer, prayer would in fact simply be a transaction, like an e-transfer. We could input our information and out would spit an answer. That's sometimes how we treat prayer. We think that's how it ought to work. And then we get frustrated when it doesn't work that way. You see, in our relationship with God, it's not just a matter of getting an answer, but of prevailing with God. Think of the Old Testament story of Jacob at the river Jabbok when he wrestles with God until he reaches a blessing. Or think of the Apostle Paul when he appealed to God over and over to remove that thorn in his flesh. And he prevailed with God until he received sufficient grace from God to bear his thorn in the flesh. Or think of Jesus, for that matter, wrestling with God in the Garden of Gethsemane, pleading for this cup of death to be removed from him until Jesus was able to surrender to the will of his Father in heaven. Prevailing with God gets reflected in our communities in prevailing with one another. That requires a certain kind of resilience, a certain kind of persistence, a kind of patience with one another, and certainly grace for one another. Our relationship with God requires that kind of willingness to contend, even with God, to prevail upon him, to wrestle. And the very same thing characterizes healthy community. It requires the same kind of resilience, the same kind of willingness to contend with one another as we demonstrate in contending with God through prayer. See, in a digital age, that can be difficult. Computerized technology presumably makes life so much easier. And so we translate that into our relationships so that we just can't be bothered with prevailing with one another. We just can't be bothered with that kind of resilience to put up with the messiness of community. In a book called Faith for Exiles, in which the authors deal with how to live in what they call a digital Babylon, making a parallel with the Israelites being exiled into Babylon, in many ways, we are exiles in a digital Babylon, so the argument goes. And the authors outline several reasons of why it's difficult to foster that kind of resilience within community. And the first is simply that more and more time on screen adds to an already rampant individualism to increase isolation and loneliness. The more we spend time on a screen, the more we can cater to having our lives basically designed around ourselves. And then we're surprised when we find ourselves all alone and isolated, alienated even. A second reason they give is that screens allow us to avoid the hard work of simply being human. So, for example, it's just frankly easier to text someone than to actually confront them face to face. A third reason they give is that certainly in the gaming world, you can virtually be Superman. You just don't have to contend with any limitations. All you need to do is power up. You don't need resilience then. You just need to be able to get that next equipment or the next power to conquer whatever it is. And And so that kind of attitude also infiltrates all of our living. And finally, they talk about how everything digital then becomes my-sized. Quote, unquote, my-sized. That is, just the way you want it. And when everything becomes just the way you want it, why should you have to contend with the way others want it? But practicing resilience for the sake of community contributes to living a life with meaning and purpose. The more that we can follow our calling to be in community and press into that, prevail with one another, the more we can actually discover meaning in our lives. Struggle is what begins to define our meaning. There's nothing bad, then, about that kind of prevailing, even with God. Finally, not only does this parable teach us something about the foundation of community or the nature of community, but it also instructs us in terms of the benefit of community that can help us to approach all of the digital technology in our lives in a Christian manner. Because as much as there is tension and contention in community, ultimately, community, here's the benefit, community is the thing that gives us a sense of well-being in this world. Healthy community causes us to flourish. Basically, because that's how we were made. We were made to flourish in community. In the context of wholesome community, then, we can have a sense of peace, a sense of being at rest. In the parable, the reference is to justice that God will surely accomplish and bring about. A justice that establishes that well-being. Justice that enables the widow to carry on. If God were a computer, we would be forever isolated and alienated from God. Because who we are and who God made us to be would never compute. Those two things wouldn't compute. Who we are and who God made us to be don't match up in reality. The human input, if God were a computer, the human input would be rebellion and sin. And the divine output would be condemnation. We would have no chance for community of any kind. One commentator suggests that if God is the judge in this parable, if the analogy is between God and the judge, then God surprisingly surrenders everything that makes up being a good judge, surrenders it all for the sake of human pleading. The judge says, for the sake of not getting attacked by this woman, I'm just going to rule. In other words, God does so by a show of grace rather than simply fair judgment. Fair judgment would simply get us condemned. But God even gives up being a good judge in order to bless us with salvation. You see the irony, the paradox that happens here, the kind of reversal that occurs in our relationship with God? And that very same kind of reversal occurs in human relationships in order for community to bind together. We can only participate in community well when we have a good sense of ourself, but we can only remain in community when we give up ourselves for others. That's what God did. And Paul calls attention to that when he says in Romans chapter 8 that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we were yet sinners and we fully deserved condemnation, that's when God decides, oh, actually, I'll put aside my fair judgment and by grace extend to them salvation. God gave up himself. His own sense of justice, he gives it up in order to preserve in Jesus Christ the community of saints. That same kind of thing happens in the context of building healthy community. So, for example, one of the benefits of enduring this pandemic, if we've bothered to wrestle with it, has been to learn being comfortable alone, being alone. Recognizing that we have this tendency, especially in a computerized age, to be dependent on other people around us. Particularly when it comes to social media and so on, a lot of times we just want that connection for distraction because we're really uncomfortable with ourselves. That's not healthy community. That's just learning to get by. We've also learned, however, that depending solely on digital community can isolate us. We need physical contact with others. It's how we're made. We're made with bodies. So only communion with God can ultimately satisfy our need for community with people. So to wrap up, when we place our value for community in the context of living in a digital age, this is what we come up with. In the first point, we're responding to our Creator God when we seek relationship because that's how God made us. Living in faith, then, is not just about the right information in order to live correctly. No matter how much research you do on the internet, but rather it's about a relationship. That, first of all, that's the foundation. Then secondly, related to the second point, life is messy when we live in community. And we need to practice that resilience born out of grace, a willingness to press in on our relationships, no matter how messy they get. Because all of our digital equipment tends to offer easy escape from that messiness. And then thirdly, related to our last point, living with smartphones, tablets, social media, and the like can help us build community. But we are still persons. And ultimately, living in a sense of well-being is about being made right with God, not about how much connection we have, whether on social media or whatever. In other words, we can learn to be alone without being lonely when our relationship with God is made right through Jesus Christ. And then the big question is, as Jesus ends his parable, when the Son of Man comes, will he find such faith on earth? Let's pray together. Almighty God, we praise you and thank you for being a God who has revealed himself to us in order to be in relationship to us. God, thank you that you've taken the trouble to relate to us and not just abandon us in our own misery. So thank you for your salvation. We praise you. And so, God, as we consider that wonderful privilege, may it be a guiding principle for how we gather together. And may it be a value that we hold on to as we take part in our use of computerized technology. And then, God, may it be an instrument to reflecting who you are in our lives. Not just a bunch of information, but rather that you reveal yourself as a God who draws himself into our lives and a God who invites us to be drawn into you. And so, Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you will make us holy as you are holy, as individuals relating to one another, and as a community relating to you. God, may we reflect how you have made us in your image. And may we honor and glorify you in who we are together. To God be the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go out into this week with a sense of confidence that God has revealed himself to you and has drawn you into relationship with him, and may that relationship invigorate you to respond to God's calling to live for him as holy vessels. And so may the Lord bless you, and may he strengthen you, and may he give you the wisdom and the resilience to live according to his calling. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us so wonderfully. The sermon series that we're in is called Digital Christians. And this week, Nathan talked about if God were a computer. And he talked about the fact that, especially in our digital age, we don't need a plethora of information, but we need the correct information. So I invite you to ponder that and to think about that in the weeks to come. A couple of announcements. Our marriage night that is happening on November 20th. The registration is open for that. So feel free to register. We're going to have such a great time. We're going to listen to wonderful speakers, be in community together. So you can feel free to do that and sign up with your significant other or alone. It'll be a great time no matter what. And again, if you'd like to register for our in-person services, we would love to see you. You can go to our website for instructions on how to register, and the registration for any given Sunday opens on the Tuesday before and closes on the Friday. Well, we're so happy that you decided to tune into our service, and we'll see you next week.